Hey everybody, yes, welcome back to the Paid Search Podcast. It's been a couple weeks and we're glad to be back with you. My name is Jason Rothman. As always, I'm joined by the handsome, intelligent, overall great guy and great Chris Schaefer. Chris, how's it going? It's just been a few weeks since I've seen you.
I know.
I'm a little awe right now.
I'm nervous, you know. I'm kind of like, oh, what do we do here? How's this go? How's this work? Yeah, it's kind of like it's all over new again. So it's exciting to be back after a very brief vacation, and we can chat more about that in our Patreon for those of you that are gonna just be thrilled to learn about how I spend my free time when I'm not working. I'm sure there's many people that are gonna just jump right in on that. It's gonna be very exciting. But Jason, I know you stayed under the gun, working hard as always. Someday I hope you're gonna get a much deserved break, but we all know.
Or I just might break.
Yeah, I might just break. Snap. Yeah. That might be it too.
Well, Chris, I'm glad you had a good break. We don't take many on this show. It's episode 271.
Yeah.
And it's good to be back with you. Got some interesting stuff going on today. We have some interesting news, and it's the kind of news where, you know, I read these news stories that come up. I look up the help documentation, and I'm like, wow, that might totally change the way this part of Google Ads performs and runs.
Okay.
Or I might be reading too much into it, but I want to run it by you and see what you
think. Should I sit down?
Because there is something new going on. No.
Okay. All right.
It's a very, very large impact on one section of Google Ads, which you probably won't care as much about. It doesn't have to do with search, which is good news, I think. We'll see. We'll talk about that news, and then we will be kind of going over some basics for Google Ads for the, from what I'm hearing, the large percentage of agencies and advertisers out there who are branching into, moving over to, exploring Google Ads after recent updates with Facebook. At least that's what I'm hearing. So for people that are really, really into Facebook and then you're coming over to Google Ads, we'll kind of give you a little overview of some things that are different with Google Ads and some features of Google Ads that you might very much enjoy if you're new to the platform.
Good
so
point.
We'll be talking about that. But first, Chris, why don't you tell us about today's sponsor, Opteo, and we'll get into it.
If you're new to the Google Ads world, you're probably overwhelmed. You probably are saturated with things you should be doing. What do I do now? What button do I push? Where is this? Where is that? It really can be daunting. And you're not alone. Veterans of Google Ads, as well as new people, need tools to help them. And that's why for a long time, we have been big fans of Opteo. Opteo is an online tool designed to guide you through decisions. It helps you. It's not a tool that does it for you. It's a tool that informs you, and then you make the decision. So it's a great tool. It's the kind of thing we go for here on the podcast because we want to make smart decisions. That's what we're here to make sure you do. And Opteo does that. It helps you get things done faster and more efficiently. And the great thing is you can try it out for free for 8 weeks. The main page, if you go to that, it's a 4-week trial. If you go to opteo.com/PSP2, the number 2, you can get an 8-week free trial. Same tools, same everything, same wonderful, wonderful price of $0, but you get twice the free trial. So try it out on us. Exclusive offer from Opteo. Opteo.com/PSP2.
Okay, thanks, Chris. And the two links that we're going to be talking about, the article and then the Google support documentation and also our link to Opteo, they are all in the description of the podcast. So look down there. And while you're down there, please leave us a rating of the show on your podcast player. And then also, you know, I'll do another ask here. Please leave us a review of the podcast. We really appreciate those. And in your review, please tell us which host you like better.
Yes.
and what percent of the success of the show you think should be allocated to that host that you like better. So
excellent.
If you want to put in like a Jason 99 or a Jason 90 in there, we'd like to see those. So, Chris, I'm going to tell you about this news story that came up. I'm looking around on the internet, and I see an article from Search Engine Land, Google Ads Optimized Targeting Gradually Rolling Out.
Okay.
And the goal here is to find advertisers cheaper conversions that might be outside of their perceived audience, said Google. And so what happened is someone on Twitter, and I think they might be a listener of the show, okay. So that's very cool. But someone on Twitter, they put a screenshot in here in the article, tweeted at Google and asked, hey, what is this new signal label under one of my demographic audiences? Chris, I think you're looking at the article. Do you see that
yes.
signal thing there next to the audience age? And then Search Engine Land kind of talked about what this is. And it's one of those things that it really takes two or three reads to figure out what's going on here. So I'm going to jump over to the Google Ads help documentation just because there's less going on there, and I can kind of read through it more simply here for our show. But I recommend looking at that Search Engine Land article. We'll link to it, reading that, and then also reading this help document. So Chris, first thing, few things to know. This feature, I'm reading from the help document now. This feature is gradually rolling out and may not be available for all Google Ads accounts yet. So first thing for everyone to note. Second thing to note, it says in this article, you'll learn how to use and review performance for optimized targeting in display, discovery, and video campaigns. Oh. And then if I flip back over to the Search Engine Land article, it says how to use optimized targeting. Optimized targeting is available for display, discovery, and certain types of video campaigns. So the second thing to note here is, hey, this is, at least the way I read it, is not for search. This is only for display and some video. And basically, also in the Search Engine Land article, I'm flipping back and forth here, but it says how it works. Optimized targeting is enabled for all campaigns automatically. So that's another thing to note. This is going to happen automatically once it's rolled out. And then it gives you some information on how to disable it. And getting into what this is, it says optimized targeting looks for additional conversions by targeting people most likely to convert based on real-time campaign conversion data, like what people who convert recently searched for. With optimized targeting, your manually selected audience segments influence the model by providing an informed starting point. And then I flip over to the optimized targeting help document. It says, it grants your campaign flexibility to explore which customers have the highest likelihood to convert within your campaign goals. When you use optimized targeting, you can optionally provide targeting signals like keywords or audience segments. These signals are used as a starting point by our system to find the best performing criteria to serve your ads on. And as I understand this, Chris, it also says this will be on even if you have no targeting signals like keywords or audiences. So people can read through these articles for themselves. I still need to read through this. It's one of those things. We also need a little experience to see how it's going to impact things. But my read of it, Chris, is that once this rolls out to your account, when you turn on a Google Ads display campaign, the targeting is whatever Google Ads wants the targeting to be.
Yeah.
And your keywords at the display level, your audiences at the display level, your demographics at the display level, they will be used as signals that the then optimized targeting platform inside of Google Ads display will then use as signals or starting points, but they will still show your ads to any people that they think would be likely to convert with your campaign goals, which means, as I read it, every person who sees Google Ads display ads is eligible to be selected for this optimized targeting. So when you run a Google Ads display campaign, you're basically, you can put in your keywords your audiences, your demographics, they'll be used as signals and starting points, but you're basically targeting everyone on the display network, and then Google will say, hey, we're only going to show you to the people who make up everyone who actually we think are likely to convert. But you're open to showing to every single area of the display network and website and person, whatever, if the very important word here, if Google thinks they're likely to convert.
Yeah.
Now, you can turn off this optimized targeting. You can turn it off and run display regular, like, hey, only show to these keyword groups, only show on these placements, only show to these audiences. You can run display like normal or like we used to, but if you don't turn off optimized targeting, then it's on, because it's on automatically once it rolls out to everyone. And then that's going to definitely, to me, change the meaning of a display campaign, as long as it's on, if you don't turn it off. Am I overstating that, or does this sound like what's going on?
I think you're right. It's the article is hard to follow and understand, because we don't exactly know.
Over to the help document. It's very, very, there's not a lot going on here in terms of words and content here.
Right.
It's pretty easy to skim through it. It says optimized targeting grants your campaign flexibility to explore which customers have the highest likelihood to convert within your campaign goals. When you use optimized targeting, you can optionally provide targeting signals like keywords and audience segments. These signals are used as a starting point by our system to find the best performing criteria to serve your ads on. So yeah, I mean, it's a big deal. Now, there are some other things. It says optimized targeting needs time to learn and find audience segments that are more likely to convert. For new campaigns, wait until the campaign has at least 50 conversions or has been active for at least 2 weeks before evaluating performance. For existing campaigns, wait a minimum of 2 weeks before evaluating performance. It says optimized targeting may reduce or stop serving traffic on your signals if it finds better performing traffic elsewhere. So you could be targeting keywords in the display network. You could be targeting audiences, and they might just stop showing it to those if they think they can find better stuff for you. But again, it's your option to leave this on or turn it off. But the nature of a display campaign, if you don't know your settings, has totally changed, in my opinion.
Yeah. I actually got into this in my most recent Super Patron video that I did, which is what I called sneaky settings, which has to do with ways that Google has settings in your account where things can be happening and changing and adjusting and you don't know. There's literally no way for you to even see it if it's turned on. So this is what I'm thinking, another, you know, sneaky setting, which is something that you may not understand fully what it's doing to the scope of your campaign. So I definitely have some thoughts on it. I think it'd be good to talk in Patreon on that.
Yeah, that sounds good. Let me just say, this to me is a huge change if you leave this setting on, and I would have never known about it unless I was looking around for it, for some news. And even with the news, I read the title and it said, Google Ads Optimized Targeting Gradually Rolling Out. A lot of headlines talk about targeting and optimization. So it's just kind of lucky that I actually took time to read the article and look into this. One thing I want to add, Chris, if you want to see the data on how the optimized targeting audience or impressions and clicks are performing, as I understand it, you go into an ad group in a display campaign, and then you go to audiences when you're in an ad group. I got a screenshot for you here, Chris. And you look down at the bottom of your data, and it says total expansion and optimized targeting. So you can look at your audience data, and then below that, you can look at your expansion and optimized targeting data.
Yeah.
And you can see here, I don't have any data because it's not rolled out to this account yet, but that's where you can kind of see what's going on. Now, the goal is to get you more conversions, and you can kind of see if that's happening when you look at the data there. So something to keep in mind for everybody, and we'll be talking about it a little more in Patreon. So, Chris, what is going on with What's going on with the world, man? No, I'm kidding. What is going on with... You talk to a lot of people.
Yeah.
You have a great training service. A lot of people come to you for questions about Google Ads. You told me you're hearing about something with Facebook advertisers getting interested in Google Ads, and that's been picking up.
Yeah.
What's going on here? Because we were just talking about this before the show, and I had not heard that from you yet.
Yeah, so explain. I'll be more explicit in our Patreon feed, which we'll do after this. But in brief, if you're a part of the Facebook advertisers system where you're essentially using Facebook ads to show ads to people, you've likely noticed a difference in the past few months with the rollout and continued implementation of iOS 14, which is, in layman's terms, basically because of a software on the iPhone, Facebook has seen a lack of control with some of their ad targeting. You know, and that's the simplest way to put it is that iPhone, which is the number one used phone, at least in the US, I don't know about the world, but it's causing impacts to advertisers. So because of this, I've been hearing a lot of people saying, hey, I'm coming over from Facebook and this whole thing is confusing to me. I need to use Google Ads because we're seeing reduced numbers in Facebook. So that's kind of the whole topic is today is, hey, Facebook advertisers, let us introduce you to Google Ads. Let's talk about
the beauty.
I think you're right. The beauty of Google Ads, what you've been missing out on, the details and massive amount of control and reporting that you have in Google Ads, which does result in complexity, but let's go through it. Let's go through several.
And it can be abused.
Oh, yeah.
You can overdo it.
Yeah.
Which I've got a little story for you in the after show.
Yeah, when you have complexity, you also have a lot of errors and issues and problems where you don't know what you're doing. You know, simplicity is not always the best when you're trying to make use of your advertising funds. So we're going to go through four things. Why we think Google Ads is better than Facebook for these reasons. It does better than Facebook. And, you know, throw it down. Throw the gauntlet down. I think it's better here.
And it's not, we don't have just four thoughts on Google Ads. And these are kind of high-level thoughts. We get into the details. And we have a choice here, Chris. We can record a 72-hour long podcast in a row right now.
Right.
The longest podcast ever. And just go through everything. Topic of Google Ads as a little refresher here. Or I guess people can listen to the first 270
episodes. Yeah, they could do that.
My point is we have a lot of content about Google Ads. If you're new to Google Ads, we think you'll get a lot from our previous episodes as well. But yeah, Chris, you wanted to talk about the four things Google Ads does better than Facebook or gives you more control than Facebook. And just to preview them here, they're high level. We'll be talking about the way you can qualify traffic, the way you can control your traffic, controlling your cost, which is a big thing that's important to us, and the biggest difference I've seen between the two platforms, controlling the ingredients.
I like that.
And getting data on the ingredients. Yeah, I really like that as well. So, Chris, high intent, better qualified traffic. And by the way, let me put my co-host at ease. Sometimes, and by sometimes, I mean every time when I open my mouth and share my beautiful voice with the world, he gives me a look like, oh my gosh, this podcast has been 2 hours long already. We got to get through it. I'm going to show him something off air here on our camera.
Okay. Got the timer.
I have a kitchen timer.
Okay. We're safe.
I'm looking at it.
Thank you. You should.
Daddy's in control
here. Show me
okay?
that more Calm often. Down. You should show me that more often to give me a sense of security. Have it on the wall or something. Okay, we'll take it.
Oh, it'd be a great setting. We always talk about the settings of the recording platform we use and how some of those have not been so cool lately.
Yeah.
That would be a cool setting. Maybe it's in there somewhere.
A timer.
If you could pull that up, put a timer on the screen there. We'll do that eventually. So, yeah, Chris, don't worry about a thing here.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you.
You just sit back and dance for us because that's...
That's what I'm here for. It's
been a big way I built my career here. It's just teeing you up and dancing, and then I get
90%
sharing
Jason.
The spoils here. So, yeah, that's right.
That's right. Yeah. So,
So high intent, better qualified traffic. Big claim there. You're saying you can control the intent and qualify your traffic in Google Ads better than Facebook. Facebook knows a lot about people, Chris.
Yep.
It's a big claim here.
Yep.
Please tell me why you're making this claim.
Okay. Let me lay out two situations. There is Joe over here and there's Jim. Okay. No relation.
Joe and Jim.
But as their names would imply, they're two very similar guys. Okay. They both like trucks. Okay. They both like trucks and they both like a certain brand of truck. Jason, let's say Ford. Okay. They both like Ford trucks. Let's talk about Joe's searching habits and viewing habits. Sometimes he goes to a message board or might follow some people on Twitter or on Facebook specifically and likes a few pages around Ford trucks and memes and stuff like that. Okay. Let's say Jim, the other guy, does the same thing. Okay. He also subscribes to some of these interests and his engagement into the genre is about the same. In Facebook, both of these guys would be advertised to because they've shown an interest. They have a certain audience type. They have a what we might call an in-market interest in this. Okay.
Even an affinity.
Right. Exactly. Affinity for this because over time they've shown interest. Certain amount of engagement.
Here, so the lords of the internet know they like Ford trucks, basically. Yeah,
they keep seeing the ads, but they kind of know they're scrolling Instagram and they're liking, you know, stuff and all that. So the system kind of sends them that just because it's getting a positive feedback loop about that. But here's the thing. Jim and Joe are very different because Joe just right now went to Google and typed in 2018 Ford, you know, F-150. He just typed it in, used, and then he put his town name. You know, he went to Google and typed that. He's price shopping. Do you know, if I had a bar scale, if the podcast was visual, imagine one arm in the air and one arm really low. The amount of intent and quality between these two people has immensely changed. That's the difference between Facebook and Google. Both have an interest, but only one has an intent. That is the big difference.
So something changed with Joe. He's gone from being a fan of Ford trucks, being interested in Ford trucks, yep, to I'm buying a Ford truck, basically.
I'm looking. I'm shopping.
He's looking. And I think, Chris, the Ford truck example, I get it. Because someone is looking for a vehicle now. Now, for a Ford advertiser, someone on the level of Ford, I think it's fair to say they want to be on Facebook and they want to be on Google Ads because they've got all that money to advertise. And there's something about, for a car company, continually being in front of people, building that mind share in the head and building that brand name and never letting people forget it. So you hit them with the overall general, we know you're interested in ads forever, on Facebook, and then we hit them with the hot, you're ready to buy ads on Google Ads. I think you can also break it down in terms of like companies that don't spend budget continually on brand building, like say some random B2B software or something like that. You know, like someone's, yeah, they're in the market for business technology. They're a business executive that buys software for their medium-sized company always, and you can hit them with ads on Facebook, but then it's a lot more valuable for like a small software B2B company to hit them with ads when they're searching for that exact kind of software at that moment. And the examples go on and on and on forever. But yeah, that's the difference with Google Ads is the moments you can get people at, if you will, to throw moments. A callback to an old phrase
We
used to talk about a lot. That you can get them when they're ready to buy. And even if you're a big advertiser like Ford, Chris, and you say, yeah, I want to be on both, I think there is more value when someone's ready to buy, and it at least informs your decision on how much you're willing to pay for that advertisement area because you know they're more likely to buy. So
let me ask you this. If Jason, let's say you owned Facebook or you could own Google, which one would you rather bring in ad dollars from? The company where they just constantly need to push out millions of ads to millions of people all the time, right? Infinite constant spend, right? No one's saying they have intent. You just show them ads without being asked. Or would you do it to Google where really you have to qualify? There needs to be return on that. People are showing intent. So you're going to possibly spend less than you would on Facebook because the person has to show that they have that interest. They have to initiate the interaction between your ad dollars and their click. You know, in all cases, I would say that you would potentially spend more on Facebook and you could spend less on Google and get more done. I think there's a lot of power there.
Well, I already hear the Facebook social media advertisers out there screaming that, hey, we know more about users these days. We have targeting methods where someone's ready to buy. And I would say, yeah, sure you do, but we have sureness that someone's ready to buy. We're able to see what they search in Google. And for people that are new to Google, they may not know that. You're able to see search terms not tied to a person that's all random, or not random, but it's not tied to, we don't know who searched it, but we are able to see the search terms, what people typed in Google. And to me, that's just always going to be better traffic and better performance because you actually get to see, you don't have to make a judgment like, hey, 87% of people in this audience that we're categorizing on our social media are actually ready to buy. No, we go to 100%. So I like this platform better, but yeah, it is nice that knowing you're going to have some clients that are advertisers that like to spend forever. I think that's a benefit of social media and TV advertising, but I also like the performance we get from search engine advertising. And even it may be a smaller budget sometimes, I like that it works and everything's working and I'm going along with that flow. Chris, precise control over your traffic. So continuing your example here of the Ford truck, someone can do a search 2018 Ford F-150s mm-hmm. near me. Mm-hmm. I know targeting's come a long way. Or another way you could phrase it, privacy's been eroded. Things have gotten creepier. However you want to say things. I know things have been more advanced
right.
With social media over time. I highly doubt they have an audience for people that are ready to buy a 2018 Ford F-150 specifically. So talk to the control you can have over your traffic, the way you can match that with ads, with your car inventory following the example, and that search 2018 Ford F-150 in Houston or Houston. Talk about why that matters so much.
It's, I mean, I've worked with a lot of car companies and, you know, if I was in a punching match with a Facebook advertiser and me, you know, they might say, look, yeah, I do have an audience for people that are interested in, 2018 Ford F-150. And I say, okay, what about the ones that are looking for a specific engine? What about the ones that are looking for a certain lift package, right? What about the ones, and I can keep as many
with certain mileage.
Yeah. That's when we say precision, which is the second point here. The first one was high intent. Now we talk about precision. The second point's precision, and control. And that's what we mean. As precise as you can get in social media, in Facebook, I can double that, quadruple that, an infinite amount of precision because I can target these very specific individual requests. If they are looking in a certain area, a certain city name in their search, if they're looking for a certain package or something like that in the vehicle that they're searching for, got it. I can serve them a custom ad that tells them exactly, yep, we have that, and click right here and you can go straight to it. That's the kind of control and precision that Google Ads can deliver over Facebook.
Precision beats power and timing beats speed.
Ooh, that's great. Did you just Google that while I was talking?
A lot of people will like that quote, Chris. You don't know what it comes from, but that's okay.
Okay. Is it a boxing thing?
Might be. Precise control over your traffic, Chris. It's not only the positive aspects of your traffic, like 2018 Ford F-150s under 100K miles, Houston, Texas, but it's also what you can block with your traffic.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
So if you run a payroll software company, you can block the word free payroll software. You won't show up on that. So the control over your traffic. I've been talking with some prospects lately, Chris, about running ads with myself and what the difference is and that kind of thing, or at least how we focus on things at my company. And I always come back to the control over the traffic. And I always try to tell them, like, hey, basically 100% of the time we can make sure we're showing up on traffic that is someone looking for exactly what you offer, and we have pure control over it. And you can't beat that. So I agree with you. One of the things that's different is the control over your traffic. I'm going back to my Facebook advertising days, and I'm thinking about how I set up my audiences and layering my audiences and all that. And I remember what would happen is, say I want to get in front of some type of business that's interested in online marketing. So say like moving companies. I would get in front of moving companies. I would layer on moving companies that are interested in online marketing. But for some types of industries, I wouldn't just want moving companies. I would want long distance moving companies, and on and on and on with the more niche you can get, because I want certain kinds of people to work with. I want to get certain ad copy in front of certain people. And I just find with Google Ads, you're able to do that because you can control what searches you show up on precisely and what searches you block. And then you can tie your ads and your landing pages into that. I think the word that Facebook advertisers need to understand is control. You have an unbelievable amount of control in terms of where your ad dollars go. Following that theme here, Chris, control of the cost per click at the most granular level, keywords.
Yeah.
And you can take this into display audiences and remarketing audiences and all that. But keywords, keyword cost per click. Talk about the importance of that, or how that influences your advertising.
The number one thing that you and I separately, we have separate businesses. Some people get confused about that. We separately get asked this one thing the most: how much should I spend in Google Ads? That's probably the biggest worry. You know, they know what they want to target, but how much should I spend? And the spend, whether it's big or small, is going to immediately influence how much you're going to risk, how much you're going to push and be up there first or second, or maybe you only show up half the time, you show up half the day. All of these are factors that influence other things in Google Ads. And in reality, Google Ads is not a one button thing where you just turn it up and turn it down. There, if you could imagine, a dashboard of dials. I can turn up the budget and simultaneously turn down the bids, which basically what would happen would mean your influence would go down. You would show up a little lower in the search results, but you would pay more overall, but you'd pay less per click. So therefore, you would actually get more traffic. These types of controlling your cost, controlling your influence is massive. And what I like about it is, if you were to do something like this in Facebook, there's a point, because someone's not knocking at the door asking for an ad, you can become annoying. You can become just an annoyance, a fly in someone's feed or on their page or something like that. You know, I mean, how many times have we heard about advertisements that just people all agree that this is a horrible ad and they get bad press because, like, this one ad annoys everybody, some TV ad or some kind of print ad or something. You know, people can really dislike ads. They can actually do the opposite. And the same thing can happen with frequency. If you push too hard on things, if you try and push harder and get something out to people that aren't asking for it, it can become annoying. And that's what's so great about Google Ads is I can push harder, but I can push across a wider diversity of audience, of people. And I'm no longer annoying. I'm just saturating the market. I'm saturating the people that are interested. There's lots of people knocking. I can be the first one at the door to open it and show my ad. That's not annoying. That's being efficient. That's getting, you know, that's advertising. And I think that's massive difference.
The biggest meaning for me for the control of the cost per click is that it allows me to target different levels of quality traffic. So going back to our example, if I'm trying to sell a 2018 Ford F-150, I can have a keyword ad group that's tied to the exact search is 2018 Ford F-150. And anytime someone searches for that with the word Houston or near me or for sale, I can bid very, very large amounts because I know that's going to be the perfect traffic.
You'll be the first one there.
As good as it gets when I'm trying to sell that truck, that exact kind of truck. But I can also target used Ford trucks or used Ford F-150s, and less people from that group are going to convert and actually buy a truck because I have a 2018 with X amount of miles. I don't know if they want a 2018. They might want a newer model. They might want a way older, cheaper model. But some of those people searching for used Ford trucks or used F-150s are going to convert. But they're going to convert at a lower level than the more exact search 2018 Ford F-150s for sale. So because they're still going to convert, but at a lower level, I can lower my bids to account for the lower conversion level, the lower quality of that traffic, but still get the same cost per lead or cost per sale that I want. Mm. And to me, that's the beauty of the manual or the bidding in Google Ads. And you can do it manually, or you can do it through an automated strategy that will do basically the same thing because it looks at the conversion rates on different levels of quality of traffic and tries to get you the cost per lead that you want to get. And again, I hear him in my ear, the Facebook advertisers can say, well, we can do that too. We can target people who are interested in exactly Ford F1. Well, you can't do probably 2018 Ford F-150s. Yeah. Maybe you can. I doubt it. Yeah. You can't do 2018 Ford F-150s under 100K miles. You can't do that. So you can get granular, however granular you can get, and you can bid more for that. And you can create an audience for it or whatever it's called in Facebook, a targeted group of whatever, and control your bids for that. And then you can pop it open at the next level to use trucks and bid lower for that. But I would say have fun looking at that on your dashboard. Have fun trying to manage that. It's to me, it's a whole lot easier to see a couple ad groups and flip those bids at the ad group level. And it's just an easier thing to do. So the control of the cost per click allows you to target different quality levels of traffic. That's a very, very big thing for me in Google Ads and still get success from them.
Yeah. I want to remind you guys about Optio, optio.com/PSP2 to try out the tool for free. You're likely a new Google Ads advertiser. We're talking to new advertisers a lot here. That's what we try and focus on is some of the basics. And really, there's no better tool that we've found than Optio. We like the tool. Jason and I both use it. We use it to help us guide decisions and make changes to our campaigns. And it's a great tool. So if you want to try Optio for free for 8 weeks, go to optio.com/PSP2. The link's in the show notes.
Okay, thanks, Chris. Now, this final kind of difference here between Google Ads or what you should expect coming to Google Ads after being on Facebook for a long time is a better control and understanding of the ingredients that are making up the success or sometimes lack of success in your advertising strategy. Chris, I've run on both platforms, obviously way, way more on Google Ads, but I have run on Facebook and I have had some success on Facebook and also failures. And the reason I don't run there right now and the frustration I've had with it is that my understanding of Facebook, it's about layering different audiences, layering different targeting, and you can find the sweet spot. And so you can target people who do this as a profession, who are interested in this, who are this age, who are located in these areas, and you can kind of cross-contaminate there and find the right person that you want to get in front of. And when it works, it's a very impressive thing. I've had it work before. But what happens sometimes is I layer audiences and I add in someone that say I'm trying to find people who want to use my service. I find a specific industry and I layer on that with things like people who are interested in digital marketing, people who are interested in Google Ads, people who are interested in internet marketing, people who are interested in search engine advertising. And the struggle I've had is how do I know which of those factors is actually producing the leads? and which ones are hurting me. And I just don't like, I've never liked that you can bake the cake in Facebook, but not figure out what ingredients are actually helping you or hurting you.
Yeah.
You just, in my experience, you have to make guesses about that. And coming to Facebook from Google Ads, going the opposite direction here, I've never been comfortable with making guesses. Because with Google Ads, I don't have to guess about anything. I get data at the search term level, what someone typed in Google. I get data at the ad level, which ads are producing. I get data at the demographic level, at the location level, time of day. And I've got everything I need. And if I see something's not working, like I'm doing great search terms, I'm doing great ad copy, I'm doing a great location, but 18 to 24-year-olds have a horrible conversion rate, and 30 and 40-year-olds have an amazing conversion rate, I'm able to go in there and make that decision and make my campaign stronger and go, hey, you know what? I don't want 18 to 24-year-olds. And it's not a guess. I'm actually able to prove this with the data. So you probably take it for granted, Chris, being someone that's very probably hasn't branched out into Facebook, at least in the recent years. You probably take it for granted, like, yeah, I get all this data and it helps me make decisions. But imagine for a second, Chris.
I didn't.
You just knew, say, let me give you a Google Ads example. Imagine you had a keyword and you knew that keyword was working, but you weren't able to see the search terms and make it even stronger.
Right.
Would be quite frustrating to you. And that's been my experience with Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be like having a door in front of me and knowing that I'm getting tons of good things from whatever's behind this door, but I can't open up the door and look inside and figure out what's happening in there. I can't figure out, how's this working? I can't look at the inner workings of that. Yeah, that'd be awful. And so let me use this example to say, imagine that you own a business and you need to advertise to other businesses, okay? You need to reach out to CEOs and CFOs. C-level decision makers. This is something I get all the time with clients that I work with. I work with a lot of B2B companies. And what happens is they need to reach out to these certain decision makers. And a lot of times they're indistinguishable between other consumers. You need to be very careful about who you're showing the ads to, because they cannot advertise to consumers in general. They have to be business decision makers. Okay. So maybe there's something in Facebook that you can choose CFO, CEO type of decision maker audience. Okay. There's not something like that in Google. But here's the difference. If Facebook does have something like that, let's say there's something that does exist, the difference is, what's the intent? What's the problem that CFO has? Does the problem that the CFO has have this level of intent? In other words, they're searching for a problem that a CEO, CFO might have. They're looking for a type of monitoring system for their facility. They're looking for a big infrastructure type of temperature control for their facility. These are facility issues. That's the difference. And that's the power, is that there's intent plus the type of person. So the way that I can frame the keywords, the way that I can understand the ingredients of this, is I can mimic the way that a CEO might search by using the same kind of keywords that they would use. Employee monitoring type of thing, right? I have now jumped immediately to someone who's going to have employees, and now someone who has a problem about monitoring employees in some type of facility. That's the type of detailed, that pierces straight through the audience, pierces straight through the intent and the problem that they have. And that's what makes Google Ads so much more powerful to me, is because I can define that.
I think if we're talking ingredients, because Facebook, it can do a lot. You can layer on different things and get the CFO, get people who are interested in maybe facility security stuff, and layer on that with CFO. But if we're talking ingredients, I like the better control and understanding of them. And I think where you're coming at it is, with Facebook, you get a certain amount of ingredients and they're very strong. And that's why a lot of people advertise there and they make a lot of money, and it works to a very large extent. But the level of cake that you can bake, if you will, with Facebook is a certain standard. but you like getting more ingredients, better ingredients, and cooking a more granular, perfect cake. Because basically what you can do with Google Ads is you can't really go, oh, show this only to CFOs. But what you can do is you can get in the head of a CFO and go, if I was a CFO looking for facility management software that specifically tracked employees coming in and out of the building, this is what I would search. And because you have basically that one ingredient, the control over the keyword, you're able to get that perfect cake that matches the exact human being in this country that's doing the search that day versus this group of human beings that might be doing that search or might be in the market for that stuff over a certain period of time. So you can just bake a more granular cake, and you maybe don't have more ingredients with Google Ads, but you have the ingredient, the key thing, which is getting inside of the brain of the person searching and knowing what they would search and being there when they search it.
That's it.
And that, yeah, I think kind of sums it up. It's just Facebook is great, but you can't do better than what I just described. You can't do better.
Yeah, yeah. There's, well,
and that's why Google Ads is awesome.
There's a solid bedrock bottom, I think is what you're saying. Once you hit a certain level of deepness or accuracy, precision, there's no further way to go. The thing is, once I go past that point with Google Ads, we can go into device type. We can layer in audiences. We can layer in time of day. I mean, there's a lot of other things that aren't unique to Google Ads, but the fact that I also have those as well take it light years beyond. So that's why I love Google Ads.
And to do all this, you just do it. You just turn on the account and you get this kind of performance that we're talking about. No, I'm kidding, Chris. That's where it gets interesting, is learning and understanding how to do all this. And if you want to learn about all that, check out our other 270 episodes to date, and we'll help you do that. So thanks for listening, everybody. We will see you on the other side in the after show on Patreon right now.